All right, Joey. Rock, paper, scissors. Winner gets to host. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So rock, paper, scissors, shoot, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors. Ha!
Cheater.
Well, I didn't cheat my computer.
Lag.
Lag, yeah. Zook, you have lagging problems, huh?
I have lag everywhere right now. That's, mentally, physically.
That's not good.
Spiritually.
Spiritual lagging. Oh, boy. All right. My God. I'm so happy I'm not doing another solo episode.
It was not bad, actually.
It really was good.
I was going to tell you, actually, Sam.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's a different flavor.
Really, you really carried the show there, didn't you?
You really did, though. Yeah.
I appreciate the kind words, boys. I really do. But it's not the same. The dynamic is different.
Sammy, it's as if we were listening to your psychosis.
My psychosis?
like we were in your cranium just listening to your thoughts. It was almost frightening at some point.
Well, how did it feel for you? Was it...
For me, it's very comforting. Very comforting. But I don't know if Joey had that same sentiment.
I kind of wanted to piss him off, but...
There you go.
Well, now's your chance.
I'm gonna bring some selfish.
Well, listen,
some shellfish.
You bastard. Well, look, Joey, I gotta give props to you for stepping up a couple of episodes ago and taking over. That was awesome of you. But look, real quick, big introduction, everybody. Welcome to a much anticipated episode of the Curfew Boys. Myself, Sammy, here hosting with Joey.
Hey now.
Got the baseman Ballbuster Zook,
and
my cousin Chris, who's already prepping for golf season. I guess
he's going to be. Oh yeah, look,
we got the Curfew Boys polo going with the Callaway hat. Golf season upcoming. That's what the Habs have to look forward to.
Okay, well, my God, I think all Habs fans were looking forward to this very day, March 3rd, being the NHL trade deadline day.
Anticlimactic. Yeah.
Very
expected.
I mean, okay. My God, I kind of want to jump into it, but I don't want to just yet, because I know the boys right now are in California. You know, they played.
Not us.
Not no. Well, yeah, I wish. Fuck. It's fucking cold outside.
Not these boys.
Snowstorm that happened a couple of days ago. Jesus Christ.
There's another snowfall tonight.
There's another one coming on Saturday. Yeah, it seems like it never fucking ends, man. The boys left fucking Canada and Quebec just in time. But nonetheless, they are in California. They played against the San Jose Sharks. When did they play? That was Monday night, I believe.
Tuesday
night. Excuse me. Yes. Mm-hmm. Tuesday nights against the San Jose Sharks, and you know, pretty much ended in a result that I think we all expected for it to finish.
I'm sure Joy was happy about it.
Nope.
I didn't expect that whatsoever.
You didn't expect the Habs to beat the Sharks.
It's the Habs in San Jose. The Habs lose in San Jose. We actually discussed this.
Statistically, you're right.
For 25 years, basically, we haven't been able to win in San Jose. This season is
not the same San Jose team. Not even close.
They won last year, though. But yeah, I was generally pissed off, really. I'd rather have beaten LA and lose to San Jose if it came to it. But, you know, never works out in our way.
Yeah, but are you happy that at least Caden Gooley scored a beautiful goal on his return?
I would have been happier if we were down by like six goals and he scored, yes. But yeah, I'm happy he got a big goal in the third.
What
period.
A kid, but, eh? Still,
he's so good.
What a kid. What
you,
a kid.
You know who I'm hoping he turns out to be, honestly? Roman Josi. If he could be like Roman Josi.
I'm not going to label him. Fuck him. Make him become the Gooley. He knows what he has to be. He knows what he could be.
Let me just throw you something here. Roman Josi's rookie season had 15 or 16 points.
Yeah, Caden she's going to pass that.
Caden Gooley right now has like 13 or 14 points.
He's going to pass.
He's that. 1 point away from tying Roman Josi's point scoring as a rookie.
Oh, no. While being out for how long?
I'm just saying. While being out, and less games too.
So he would have been at the 40-point mark right now if he would have been healthy. Fuck.
I think so too. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. So, Sammy, how happy were you when Gouley scored?
Fucking. Well, actually, so I didn't watch the game because I was at work and fell asleep. I was like, screw it. I wasn't. I had to wake up early the next morning. But when I saw the, you know, the notification or the highlight the next day, yeah, I was super thrilled.
So you have to teach me maybe. Because you, it seems you do it best. I find the happiness of these players progressing is it's being overshadowed by my I don't know, my emotion to tank for the season. So I don't even get happy when it happens.
How could you not be happy for the future kids
because
of this
that game? That goal made Montreal win the game against a team.
You have to be happy for the culture that's being built.
I'm happy for the culture, but like the progression of these goals that happen, sometimes it just I can't be overexcited and as I want to be.
Right, but can't you be happy for like Marty St. Louis or Louis St. Martin? Like, I'm so happy every time we win. It's because of his hard work.
I try, but then I go back to seeing the two words, and I should imprint this on my wall. It says Connor Bedard. Okay, so when I see that in my brain,
we're betting on him being the best after not even fucking playing a real game against men. Like, okay, no,
dude, stop it, Zook. Don't even fucking go there. Like,
just calm down. It made all this hype for no reason, is what I'm saying.
No, there's the right amount.
There might be better players out there who will be drafted fourth, fifth. You know, like you never know, man.
But look, all that to say is that I expected the Canadiens to beat the Sharks because they got rid of Timo Meier like a day or two before. I didn't expect the Canadiens to lose. But when was it? Last night.
Pisses me off, this game.
Against the Kings?
Yeah, man. We're fucking losing.
They played hard.
We're losing to Bergevin, for fuck's sakes.
No, we're not. We're losing to Rob Blake.
It's not a team from Bergevin. He just works there. But the Canadiens played hard. They played a lot harder there than in San Jose. Well, they had to. Kings are a better team. And yeah, they
right. Really... Hence why I wanted to see them win against them versus San Jose.
No, because you just can't stand seeing Philip Dano win.
Oh, that's my why. God. Fucking ass.
Well, look. Let me ask you guys this. The newly acquired Montreal Canadian, Denis Gurianov.
Dude, since his first shift.
That shot he took yesterday, I was like, even me, I was like, dude, wow. I was like,
even against San Jose, he had like five fucking scoring chances, dude.
So I put out a tweet on the Curfew Boys page saying before the game, like, I'm feeling a Gurianov goal. And just based off the way he performed against the Sharks, the guy took like what, 5-6 shots?
Yeah,
a couple of them with scoring chances. Yeah, like, a lot of scoring on the power play. One like a one timer on the right side, left handed shot.
Do you think he's gonna stay a power play specialist?
Yes,
he's gonna stay. Yeah,
for this season, yes.
He has. He definitely has that positioning where we need.
Yeah, because he's got more the shot.
We need more.
He has the potential attributes to fill it. It just never fulfilled in Dallas. So this was one of. I'm not gonna say it's a massive win for Hughes, but it is a win right now, and it comes down to us never re-signing or using Danilov in the future and maybe getting a good player like Gurianov who can potentially help, you know, with the rest of players become better over time, right? So this was probably, and we'll get into trade deadline, this was probably our trade deadline deal.
It was our only deal. But listen, did you ever, like, we'll just get on the topic of Gurianov trade for Dadonov. Like, for a good part of the season, nobody expected Dadonov to get traded. Nobody thought there was anything valuable coming our way.
Yeah,
that's true.
So to your point, Kent Hughes literally made something out of nothing. The way 100%. I see it is the following. Gurianov is going to be, he's going to be an RFA at the end of the season. So let's just keep that in the back of the mind. Now we go back to Dadonov. This guy is worth nothing. I honestly didn't think that he was going to be tradable. I didn't think that any teams were gonna you know, take a flyer on him.
He
take
stepped
a
up his game,
him.
Yeah.
He did. He really, really did. Now with that said, for a player that we're going to lose for nothing, we don't want any part of, is dragging his feet in Montreal. not contributing any. Like, he started to produce a little bit, but still there was more frustration that came out of his play on ice for the majority of his shifts. Kent Hughes flips him, who was going to walk away for nothing, for a guy who is a 20-goal scorer, has a good, like, good frame, can skate pretty damn fast, has a bomb of a shot. And if he could return to becoming a 20-goal scorer, that's one thing. So we have a little window. I just want to finish this thought. We have a little window where we get to see him play and where he might be able to slot in on our team. Even if he doesn't pan out, you can still trade him because of the fact, as mentioned before, you have his rights as an RFA. So essentially, Kent Hughes turned nothing into something, but then you add the Marty St. Louis factor. You get to see whether or not he could fit in. If he could continue to play like this, holy shit, like that could be theft. That could be absolute theft.
So I see Gorianov as a player that if Armia was fast with a Hoffman-like shot.
That's like pretty good qualities. It's something we lack, right?
100%. And to me, when I see a guy like Yoel Armia, I think somebody that uses his body to protect the puck very well. And we can't take that away from Yoel Armia. Like, him in the corners, that's who you want, the guy to go fight for the puck in the corners. And not just regain puck possession, but protecting the puck as well. This is where I don't think Gorianov has that same forechecking ability, but at the same time, too, he's a big body that skates well. And man, the way he just wired that fucking puck against the Kings, like it's in and out. That's what we want, in and out. And to add to your point, Chris, the Marty St. Louis effect, this is another attempt / risk-taking / experiment, the exact same way like they did with Kirby Doc. Now, obviously, there's a lot more room for Doc, considering he's a lot younger than Gorianov. But if there's one thing that Hughes and Gorton do is they scout not just players and talent, but personalities and players that could somehow have some kind of chemistry / a role to be a part of. With this new structure whatever the new plan is coming along, building this team. So if they went and pick him, it's because they see something good in him. And Gorianov, you know, I just think he kind of missed out on his opportunity in Dallas. I think guys like Jason Robertson and Rupert Joe Pavelski still putting up numbers and still playing well. I think that kind of dampened his chances of being at least a top six forward. And, you know, it could be a bunch of other things, too, that might have tampered with his confidence. But, like, so far, it's panning out. Like, I know we're only two games in. Like, I know we need to relax a little bit. But this could be another example of a guy, a relatively younger guy than Dandanov, that just needed a fresh start somewhere else, a new environment to play in. And I can't think of a better one and behind a better coach than Marty.
And he also brings in characteristic for me anyways that I don't think we have in many of our forwards. The only one I see this is Anderson. It's a big body that can skate really, really well. Kirby Doc skates well, but there's a difference between the way Doc skates and Gorianov. Gorianov is actually much quicker. And for his size, that's a big thing. And I think he definitely has more of an east-west game. Rather than, you know, Anderson is just
going to north-south. Yeah, that's right.
East-west is good for, and this can be good. We need a big body like that for the power play. I'm not big on Anderson on the power play. Again, he's a north-south game, and when you play power play, when you have power play opportunities, it's east-west.
Yeah, but he did score on the power play against the Kings.
You're right. He did, but it's not my cup of tea to have Anderson there. It isn't. Gorianov might be the one to do it. He's, you know, he was always projected as a middle six forward. Mm-hmm. So anything you get in the top six for, like Chris said, a guy you're losing for nothing is a huge win in my books. And if he turns out to be that second line winger, one of the second line wingers that we have, that's incredible.
Oh, absolutely. And to me, I thought, man, if there is a market for Dandanov, if you're lucky, maybe a fifth round pick at most.
I prefer this. He's a first rounder, right?
100%. Yeah, he's picked
fourth,
12th.
No,
Yeah,
he was picked 12th.
Yeah, 12th overall. Yeah.
The fourth. And there was one playoffs he actually really impressed when he played with the bubble playoff.
He led them in goals, I think, with like 9 or something.
He scored the goal to get them to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
He was the one who scored it. The guy, and he had a hat trick against which team to eliminate them? The guy really
didn't they beat Colorado that time?
I can't remember 100% off the top of my head. I can't remember, but
I think they beat Colorado. I can't remember either, but off the top of my head, I have to do the research here, but I think it was Colorado.
They beat, I was just checking it. He scored actually 4 goals and they beat the Flames.
Okay.
And it was 4 goals in the match.
Okay. Well, there you go. So like, look, I think the talent is there. I think the knowledge of the game is there. I think he's got all the assets. It's just, look, like I said, I just think some of the players in Dallas, they just exploded. And Jason Robertson's one of them. And he just maybe, it comes down to him just needing a fresh start.
Really, I really have to just voice this frustration because I think hundreds of thousands, if not a couple, maybe 2-3 million people in the province said the same thing. Fucking Dadanov. I don't know what they put in the water down there in Dallas or any other city that we fucking trade up.
Did
we ever see him skate? Did we see him skate one time like that?
Zero tax.
It's the no tax, exactly.
It's a no state tax effect.
Yeah, fuck. He came flying into the zone.
What a goal, though. It's a
fucking reverse Forsberg move. Like, what the hell? What the hell, man?
He was flying on that fucking shift.
Chris, I hate to say it. I don't think players offensively, It just their 100% offensive abilities never come out of Montreal. We've had an enigma in offense for forever in Montreal. We've had. And I think these players just are part of the victim here. I don't know if it's pressure or if it's how, you know, the media is with players, but you don't see 100-point players and you don't see, like, you know, secondary and third and secondary scoring of like 30 goals here. You don't see that. We haven't shown that in forever. I mean, our last big point getters were Koivu, Kovalev, and you're talking like now nearly 20 years. I think guys offensively thrive more when they leave Montreal. I don't know what it is. It's not a coaching thing or whatever, but it always seems to happen. It really does.
Maybe it's just a question of sunshine. I don't know. Think about it this way. The winter blues were depressed over here. Montreal has the most Stanley Cup wins. You're coming out. It's spring. The sun starts coming out. Performances across the board.
Yeah, but he didn't want to be here to begin with.
Yeah, like, that's true. I mean, there's always that as well.
And the guy, look, everybody was praising him for being a good pro. Like, first guy on the ice during practice, last guy off, back skating in the gym. At the end of the day, that's probably why he was able to get traded for what we got in return. Probably to see, well, look, here is a guy that doesn't want to be in an area city team, but yet is still showing an excellent level of professionalism. That could be fine. Why.
Yeah, but fine. Professionalism is one thing. But if he had done that 3, 4, 5 times, even if he had just, I'm not asking him to pull a reverse Forsberg move and drop the puck into the net with a completely beautiful goal. But if he had just fucking used his skating ability even once like that, maybe 5, 10 times like that, you get a much better trade. And I'm not shitting. Like, again, I'm very, very happy that we got Gurianov. I think there was an imbalance there. But you might have even been able to go get more had he just, again, professionalism is one thing. If he had given a little bit more, it would have been so much easier to trade him and so much easier to trade him for a lot more at the same time.
But Chris, you can even flip it, right? Gurianov, I mean, he wasn't really becoming a fan favorite in Dallas. He was kind of like, in Dadanov's situation, he was kind of like getting, you know, left on the sides, like no one really cared.
Fourth liner too, yeah.
Yeah, and he comes here, and I mean, he shows like a real burst of energy. He's already playing with Suzuki, and he had an excellent debut, and he scored a hell of a goal last night. So,
absolutely. I have no shade to throw at Gurianov. I am very, very happy with the result of everything. But I'm just saying, again, would have been a perfect example to say, who knows? It, had Dadonov performed a little bit better, maybe you're getting a third-round pick along with Gurianov. Mm-hmm. It's just that.
Sam, yeah. I want to ask you before you continue. Do you think Chris hates Dadonov as much as Zouk hates Filip Dano? Because it seems there's
I don't think anybody could beat Zouk's hatred for Filip Dano. So,
you know, it's life.
Even for me, Gallagher?
In life, you know, there's
You don't hate Gallagher, the player. You hate his fucking contract.
Okay.
There's a difference. Fair enough. There's a big difference.
Whereas for me, like for us Italians, especially who are listening to us, whichever you're saying, faccia di schiaffa, that's what Dano had. And it was that mixed with his attitude of thinking he was a goal scorer. Fuck you.
Bye. You're forgetting one important thing, though, with Dano.
He ended up scoring 27 goals this first season in fucking...
More than anybody on our team, by the way.
Fuck.
There's one thing that you're missing out, too, that you have to mention about Dano. It's on top of it all, when you have to listen to him do his interviews,
that little freaking lisp that he had, too, was like... aggravation, you know?
Listen, I want to get out to the main topic. I want to get into the main topic. Fuck's sakes. Anyways. Okay, today was trade deadline, but I think we could go on and say it was trade deadline week.
Yesterday was more of a deadline than today.
Holy fuck, though. Like, what the hell? This past week in the NHL had to have been the craziest amount of NHL trades I've ever seen in a long time. Okay, so look, before we get into the other teams, because I think it's important to talk about the other teams here. Here, let's just recap real quick what the Canadiens did, Cantus did on the trade deadline. So the first trade came in; he traded Nate Schnarr to the Kings for Frédéric Allard. Allard is basically a defenseman that's going to be playing for the Laval Rocket. It was reported that he's going straight to Laval right away. And then after that, the Pittsburgh Penguins acquired Nick Bonino from the San Jose Sharks, but the Canadiens were a third party in there to retain 25% of that salary. And in return, they got a fifth round pick and another defenseman by the name of Tony Sund. I can't pronounce his fucking name. I think he's a Finn that's playing out in the Swedish Hockey League. So, was this expected? They did.
Yes.
They did warn us saying it's probably going to be a quiet day for the Habs on trade deadline. Turned out to be so. Honestly, am I disappointed? Slightly, yeah. Because I was hoping maybe he got rid of one of the deadweight contracts. You know, we mentioned names like Drouin. We mentioned names like Hoffman. Then there was rumors, you know, those big rumors surrounding Joel Edmondson. I like the guy. I don't want him to leave, but figured there might be a good return for him. Those constant rumors of Josh Anderson, and I know Chris and I, we debate about that big time. I don't know if you guys saw Kent Hughes's press conference, but to me, the ultimate statement was, and he said in French, he goes, for sure, I would have loved to have done a trade or two, but the offers we got did not make sense or did not fit into our future plans. So we decided not to make any trades. To me, that's a sign of a smart GM. It's a sign of someone that will not make trades just for the sake of making trades. Like I think him and Jeff Gordon are really thinking this, like they're really giving this a long and hard thought that like, no, we're not going to fuck up this rebuild or retool or whatever they are at this point. So I want to hear your thoughts, guys, because to me, it's like I'm just happy knowing that Kent Hughes avoided making a trade just for the sake of making a trade. And sometimes the smartest move is not making any move. So I'm leaving the floor to you guys.
I'm I'm disappointed, obviously, not because of Hughes, not because of Gordon, not anything that the management did that disappointed me, just the situation that happened, because Montreal had a real opportunity to deal some of these players, Edmondson, what's his name?
Monahan.
I'm having a blank. Monahan, because he hasn't played for forever. Mm-hmm. Which he mentioned, by the way, in the press conference about Monahan and his injury. So he got re-injured, by the way. So
yeah,
just bad.
But it wasn't the foot. But it wasn't the foot, which was actually reassuring.
That's right.
Yeah. What is it?
It's a good point. It's a good call. But no, it's disappointing in a sense. So these were two big pieces that we could move for draft capital, and we didn't. And other teams moved very quickly because Montreal had players that were unsure to be healthy and teams didn't want to take the gamble. I never thought Anderson or Savard, some of the other veterans, would have been in play. Mm-hmm. So I never considered him from the start. But if they would have traded Savard, it would have been a miracle. But I don't think it was ever a plan to trade Savard, nor was it a plan to trade Anderson. Would I have traded either one of them? Yes. I've always expressed my concerns with Anderson's contract as he gets older, and with Savard, he's only going to have a year left. I mean, it's good to have veteran presence, but if you have Edmondson, because you can't trade Savard, I mean, try to trade one or the other. So overall, I was disappointed in their deadline. I wish they could have done better or something as of last year, but it could impact a bit of the rebuild, maybe. I mean, having more draft picks, you could have found another diamond in the rough, whatever case is, but they have a lot of picks coming up regardless. So I think they'll still come out good with this, but yes, it was disappointing.
Okay.
Joke. Okay, I'll go. Look, I wasn't surprised much like you guys, especially with the news leading up, with the injuries leading up to the deadline. I thought actually the only thing that was kind of a surprise, I thought something more might have come, like maybe a random name. I thought we might hear a little bit more rumblings on Dvorak, a little bit more on Josh Anderson. I'm very happy.
The day started, actually, with rumors circulating around Dvorak. Yeah. Apparently, we were getting calls for him. So,
yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. Very happy that Anderson stayed for now, at the very least. What you said about Kent Hughes, I like the fact that the guy's not making trades just for the sake of making trades. He knows the value of his players. And another thing too, it's kind of a statement to the other GMs that we're not just going to give away our players for anything. We're not just going to give you
Tampa
what you think is the best offer. We're going to get a fair value for our players. And, I think the one point, just not to be repetitive and say the same things as Joey, maybe, is I see this potentially as an opportunity to re-sign Monahan. I think he's a fantastic leader. I'd like to re-sign him for maybe one more year. If he can stay healthy, then we might end up being able to go get that first round pick at the end of next year.
That's the big if, right? The healthy.
One year at $1 million, because this guy, he's one injury left becoming either RoboCop or Darth Vader. So
absolutely,
like,
but would you not take a gamble for $1 million, for $2 million even? I think that's a steal, because
sure,
if he stays healthy,
that's the big if.
If Monahan was a healthier player, for sure, but he's not. Like these issues have cursed his career. They've lingered and cursed his career way before he became a Montreal Canadian. And I agree with you. Is he a good leader? Yeah. I mean, when he was healthy on the lineup, like a kid like Juraj Slafkovský was thriving playing with him. Hmm. We saw in that goal, that game against Calgary, when Monahan made his return to Calgary, right off the faceoff, made a play, and Slafkovský buried it. Absolutely.
Yeah,
dude, he's too injury prone, man. He's too injury prone, and it's unfortunate because I like the guy, I really do. I agree with everything you said, but $1 million, if he does get a contract for the rest of his career, it's going to be under one year conditions.
He's going to be if we sign him for one more year, he's going to be Cinderella, man.
I hope. What scares me with Monahan is we have too many guys like him in his situation. You got Edmondson, Gallagher and Byron already. That's three off the top of my head that are very injury prone. One is
Byron's contract's over.
I know, I'm not even saying just presently. I'm saying what we've gone through and what we're going through. So past players and even present. You have Gallagher and Edmondson.
And honestly, sorry, Joe. Go ahead, and I'm going to finish.
I was just going to say, and we've been complaining about injuries, medical staff, everything for the past 2 years. Well, it doesn't help the medical staff if you sign guys who are injury prone as well. It's a balance.
And all depending who they draft this year. Like, let's listen. If they draft within the 6th, 7th, 8th mark, even if they draft a sentiment. Okay. Besides that, I'm trying to be, but I'm also being realistic. Did Kirby Dach not earn his second line center spot?
Yes.
You're still going to have Dvorak, and then you're going to have Jake Evans coming back, who I think is an excellent fourth line center.
I prefer him on the right wing still, man. I still prefer him on the wing.
I do. I like him on the right wing too. I agree with you, Joe, but right now, who do we have? Unless Owen Beck has the training camp of his life, I don't see. And
you think he's going to make it yet?
I say give him one more year in junior. But hold on. I might play devil's advocate here or extend an olive branch here. What if they feel like, no, Kirby Dach is better off on the wing? Maybe they do decide to bring Monahan back.
Well, like, for when one we year. Draft,
it's possible, but draft, how many games are you going to play is always the question.
Well, that's the ultimate question.
Why don't we put Drouin back at center? Why don't we just experiment again for
Drouin? Okay. Speaking of Drouin.
I mentioned him. I'm glad you're going to mention the quote about what Hugh's going to say, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead. That's why I mentioned
him. Saying his contract is he didn't say these exact words, but basically his contract was the problem.
His shit.
Yeah, and his nobody contract. Wanted him, so it's over.
Well, hold on a sec. So Chris, you said earlier that like it's a message to the other GMs that we're not going to get, for lack of a better word here, lowball. Do you think some GMs try to lowball him?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I seriously wouldn't be surprised if some of the GMs are like, you're not going to get anything. But that's the thing. You're talking about professional sports here. Mm-hmm. You might be giving a team, and I won't even go and say a rival team, but you may be giving another team a competitive advantage. And as much as that might be like, well, who gives a shit or whatever, like, you don't want to be the guy who's going to trade a key piece or a key asset that's going to end up, you know, doing something magical in the playoffs and being the reason that another team won or advanced or knocked out. You know, could you imagine? I'm just saying, you know, maybe put yourself in Kent Hughes' shoes. Imagine a team like Boston. Imagine a team like Toronto. Imagine even a team like Ottawa, who's making a push, that have good players that might be able to, you know, get Drouin going. They lowball you. You have to watch Drouin go to one of your potential rivals and perform.
Well, now more than ever, I think now with the way that the divisions are and how like the playoff format is, I think teams, I don't see teams making deals with other teams within their division. Because they got to face them at least twice.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
And it's basically the mentality of like, I'm not going to be the only one to lose here. If I'm going to lose, you're going to lose as well. And I think that's what happened with some of these guys. If they gave them shit low ball offers.
True. However, I do think Chris, I think, I was going to say Bergeron.
Oh,
I think Hughes. I think Hughes was going to get, I don't even think he got any offers for, it's just my feeling. I don't think he got any offers for Drouin at all. I think he would have accepted a low offer for him, but nobody wanted to take a chance on that contract. I mean, I would have traded him for two Putsins and a free trip to Cuba. I would have given him for free, really. I'm serious. I would have just gotten rid of him. Imagine, I would have gave it to you, Sam. Seriously.
Mickey, I'll eat that poutine like there's no tomorrow.
And I'll enjoy every second that Drouin is not in a happy. I don't think he's got any offers, really.
I think Kent Hughes did try. And I think whether the bullshit excuses were, well, look, man, his contract is just not certain. Well, no, here's another thing that I forgot, a detail I forgot. They probably asked him, you got to retain half. And he said, no. Because don't forget, guys, you could only retain three contracts at 50%.
Yeah.
Who was the second one?
Well, they retained Gorianov, they retained Dandanov.
They did the job with Bonino.
And they retained Bonino. And Cantu said, he's like, you could only retain three. I don't know why I'm here.
These fucking rules, though.
Well, dude, the rules are the rules.
Before you go up.
I'm sorry.
Next point.
It's a good rule.
No, it's smart. Dude, he's smart. He said this. He's like, I'm not trading Drouin. Well, he didn't say these words. But basically, if you read between the lines, he wasn't going to retain Drouin's 50 salary at 50%. What if he wants to do that come the draft? And he's a good trade offer.
I just wanted to say.
Is he a free agent? How many more years does Drouin have?
He's not a free agent until July 1st. The draft is – when's the draft? The draft is before.
Yeah, true, yeah. I guess. Yeah, That makes sense.
Just saying. Okay, it could be – but it could be anybody. What if it's Hoffman? What if it's Dvorak? What if it's Safard?
I think everything resets on that day for the rules, right? Well, when does the season?
I think it's July 1st.
I think everything restores itself July 1st. I think.
Okay, yeah. So then that would make sense. And Zouk, no, it's honestly it is a good rule because then you're gonna have teams like Arizona just playing a broker deal for like 10 deals. It's stupid.
What I mean is also this. I think the whole excitement towards trade deadline has been ruined because of these fucking regulations that the NHL is putting. Even the salary cap is ruining trade deadline. I know this is it's a wrecking ball here, but like I'm just saying, deregulate all that fucking shit. You're gonna have excitement.
Don't take out your regulations on Formula One on NHL and us.
All sports are suffering with this problem, though. So even soccer, man. Just fucking, you know, make it exciting. Make the fans engage. You know, that there's a mysterious trade there that's going to happen that could happen randomly. Like, why have these fucking rules? Oh, you have three people on LTIR. You have this. You have four fucking, you have three reserve the salary. Like, what is this shit? It's a fucking law exam. Yeah, like, what's the point of that?
That's what they negotiated in their collective bargain agreement.
That's fucking shit.
But that's why fucking Tampa. If you pay attention to other sports, there are more exciting times for trades and big player signings and other sports than hockey. 100%. I always said hockey players have the least amount of say of not of where they go, but not in terms of like big players leaving or forcing out a deal.
Not Patrick Kane this time. It's not Patrick Kane.
No, but Sam, it did.
I get what you're saying.
Like you'll never see a McDavid at 20. You know, prime to ever leave Edmonton until the end. It'll never happen. But you would see a McDavid caliber in soccer or even in the NFL. You would see them change teams. It's just the nature of the sport.
And what's the biggest sport in the world? Not hockey. There you go. It ends there.
We'll do a full podcast on it, Zouk.
They have to learn, and I'm just saying.
Zouk, I feel like you should join some kind of Roma soccer podcast.
We don't want Lazio fans. Please.
Well, I think he'd be perfect. Okay,
infiltration.
Guys, here's my ultimate question, and it's a big question. We have lots to discuss about. Who are the real winners, though?
Okay.
In this year's trade deadline, not just the day, not the day of the deadline, but like, look, at least the last week or two, like
last week.
Okay. There's a lot of teams here that I consider winners, but let's go around the table here because there's lots to talk about in this particular subject.
Okay, fuck the Leafs.
Can we start with the losers? Losers?
Whatever.
Okay, go for it.
What do you want to start?
Because
the losers, if you want.
Because Chicago, I thought that was pretty shitty what they got.
Oh man!
But bigger today, especially with what happened today, we're talking about trade deadline day. Fucking Pittsburgh, they got older. They didn't get anything very good. Okay. I just don't know why the hell they went after some of these players.
Granlund, well, Bonino, it's because he won with them twice. It's bringing back that experience. Sometimes, man, just bringing back that one player that could provide that same spark from when you won. Like, I mean, I don't necessarily blame them for doing that, but I could see your point on Pittsburgh getting older. I mean, they brought in Granlund. Okay, yeah, like he's not old, but like he's not like in his prime when he was with Nashville. Yeah, who else?
To me, Bonino, like bravo, you can win a handful of faceoffs, but you know who he makes me think of right off the top of my head? It's like Dwight King. It's like bringing in a Steve Ott or a Dwight King. Like, what are you doing?
Best
what
trade you, honestly, deadline ever.
Yeah. It was, look, those to me, I thought you could get more for Patrick Kane. I thought that obviously he wanted to go to New York. So, you know, Chicago was a little bit hard pressed. But that's a perfect example as to what we're talking about with Kent Hughes. Rangers, you don't want to give enough? Well, fuck you. You're not getting him.
Well,
you're
dude,
not giving I us mean, the first round pick.
I mean, I don't know, Chris. I'm going to have to slightly disagree with you. And I get why you're saying Kane is a first overall, a first round pick. Absolutely.
First if overall, too.
Look, he is a first overall pick. That is true. In what, 2006? Anyways, look, dude, Chicago this year, 2 first-round picks, 4 second-round picks. Like, they're stacked with picks this year. Stacked.
Go get another first-round pick. You don't need another second round. Go get another first-round, well, trade dude, them, push.
Well, because but you got to think about it, too. Like, their chances are they're going to draft within the top three, right? They're gonna have that star player. Their other first round pick is Tampa Bay's. So
I understand. So that's the end of the first round. Look what they did. Look what they did in getting Patrick Kane first overall and Jonathan Toews. What was he like? 14, 15, anywhere between 10 to 15.
The draft after, I think he was 3.
No, it was the same draft. It was the same draft.
Stand by. Keep talking. I'm going to do research on this.
Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews were the same year, and I believe that Toews went anywhere between 10 to 15 or 16th. Anyways, I can't remember perfectly, but, you know, that's what you want. I know they'll have the luxury of maybe trading multiple picks to go go downward in the draft. But, again, I'm just making the simple argument that a first-round pick, no matter what year, is always going to be worth more than a second-round pick.
He was 100%. He was third overall. I was right.
Toews?
Third, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so it was first and third. Wow, what the fuck was I thinking?
In 2006, and hold on, Kane was...
That's insanity.
No, Kane was first in 2007.
Okay.
So...
Okay.
You know what? So...
What am I thinking then?
Maybe the Sedin twins. I don't know. Okay. What are your thoughts on St. Louis, a non-playoff team, in terms of making trades? I think they won. As far as them being a non-playoff team, they have the 3 first-round picks, Chris, that you really wanted Chicago to get.
There you go.
And they you know what?
They gave up less.
They gave up less. But trading Tarasenko... And then trading Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, I would agree. St. Louis would be definitely up there as one of the winners. It's not my top winner. I have others. Mm-hmm. But they definitely done well for himself as a non-playoff team.
All right. So who are your winners then, Joe?
My winners, I hate to say it, I think Bruins are one of them. I really think...
Larkin, fuck. Baby.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I think they
not Larkin, the
players fuck. They need.
Tyler Bertuzzi.
Larkin will help. Them. Larkin was crying when he left.
Larkin signed though, right? Fucking
yeah, I know. But Dylan Larkin was crying.
That was also a very good contract, by the way, for Larkin. Anyways,
well, who else did Boston get?
They got Hathaway, right?
Yeah, they got Hathaway and
Orlov.
Yeah. Orlov from Washington.
I think it's going to help them because that's something they needed from their team. So they were a winner to me. I really liked, I'm not going to say they're a big winner, but I really think a perfect fit for what the Oilers needed was Ekholm. So I think that was
Fuck, man, though. I never thought they would take his contract.
No, I didn't. But I've always liked Ekholm as a player, and I thought they did well. I got to say, New York went all in. So dude, when I think of a team that goes all in, they got to be winners. They're going for the cup.
Oh, my God.
They could have paid more for Kane, like you guys said. Well, he's getting older. But I don't think they completely killed themselves. So those are some of the big winners for me.
Okay, interesting.
I have a loser, though, when we get to that.
Well, speak your mind.
Canucks were one of the biggest losers for me today. I did not like that deal they made with Detroit. I thought they overplayed for Hronek. I don't see how he's worth the first and the second that they got. I was like completely baffled. You have Brock Besser that, you know, has been kind of wanting out. And they need to, you know, they need to kind of rebuild this. They don't even trade him. I don't know what the hell they were doing. I think they were one of the biggest losers.
Same thing with the JT Miller, the thing that they signed.
With JT Miller, that's right. And I hate to throw him in there, guys. And again, it's not because of Hughes. I think Montreal has to be a loser on this. Maybe not the biggest. It's because they couldn't do anything.
Circumstantial.
It's not their fault, but they couldn't do anything. But they had the hand they were dealt.
Fine.
But because of injuries, they couldn't.
And Joey, you brought up a team that instantaneously reminded me this week on the whole, Nashville. They got a shit ton of picks. Who's the player that they traded earlier on in the Genot. Week? Yeah, what the hell? What the hell?
I thought Tampa overpaid.
Yeah, but that big overpaid for it, but that's an arrogant move by Julien Brisebois. At least I think. Just giving out fucking draft picks, like giving out free candy at Halloween.
Like, they don't care for the picks. It's going to come back just like Chicago.
100% it's going to come back to haunt them. But do they really think that Tampa Bay could fucking win it all again?
I think they could.
I don't know. I think they played so much hockey within the past 2-3 seasons. I hate saying that Toronto might be winners in this trade too.
No.
But chances are they're facing Tampa Bay and
I think Toronto wins it this year. Tampa and Toronto. Which is going to happen.
I think Toronto's going to win. I hope to God you're right, man. I don't want to see Toronto get past the first round.
They're not going
to
get past.
Ryan O'Reilly and then Luke Shen, and who else did they get? Jake McCabe.
They picked up a depth, which is what they've always needed.
They traded Sandin away. They got a first-round pick in return. Yeah. Honestly, though, like, even if Boston were to win the Cup, that's painful to say. If Toronto goes out in the first round after picking up all of these players, I swear to God, I'm going to have TSN on the whole fucking first part. That's going to be the most rewarding feeling to see the Leafs, who went all in and then some, lose again. That would be biblical. Biblical.
TSN is convinced that they're... Why the fuck do we keep echoing?
Because we're great.
No, TSN is convinced that they're going to go far in these playoffs to the point where like they could win the Cup.
That fuck?
Fuck him. Oh, fucking old dog. Although he was funny today though on TSN, but I was watching Trade Center, but he's good, but
he's too fucking
he's way too biased.
A Leafs dick in his mouth fucking way too much all the time.
I should ask you guys, what did you guys think of Florida just standing pat? And I asked because we have their first
good.
They don't seem convinced to make playoffs, so
they're good with what they got, so that's good.
Excellent.
Okay. Washington's giving up.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
It's okay. Whatever. They still have Ovechkin.
But Ottawa is taking that place. I'm not going to say they were a big winner to Ottawa, but I like their trade for Chychrun.
You know who I think has to have an L next to their name, and they're a playoff team? Seattle.
Yes.
They did fuck all. That I'm very surprised.
But as a whole, Sam, I think the Western Conference are winners because – the East is so loaded. Nobody to me besides Bruins or Rangers, even our Toronto, I'm sorry to say, have a freaking chance.
Look, Hurricanes? Tampa?
Dude,
I don't know, man. I find there's not as much parity. I don't know about Carolina.
No way, man. Yes, you're right.
The way they're playing.
The Metropolitan Division is way too fucking strong.
But teams that stand pat like Seattle, yeah, I'll give them a loss. But you know what? The West didn't do much. Anybody can kind of take that spot.
But this is what I'm saying. Like they're in the Pacific Division with Los Angeles and Vegas right now. Vegas, aside from getting Jonathan Quick, who else did they get?
But nobody did anything. Nothing.
But this is what I'm saying. If they would have done something, they could have had that upper
right, hand. Right, but you can also say that for every other team. Nobody did anything.
Well, no, that's not true. Well, if let's stay in the East. Well, no, that's not true. Dallas, besides Dandanoff, they went and get Max Domi.
Who else?
I understand. Max Domi. But they got depth players, but these are good depth players to have. Minnesota, they made a couple of acquisitions too. Colorado, they're just waiting for Landeskog to come back and McCarr to be 100% healthy, but they want to get Lars Eller at center. Stanley Cup champion.
You're right. I just think as a whole, I don't think the West did, like, not even close to the East.
No, they didn't. No. You're totally right. But that's my point, is that at least Vegas did a little something. I don't know if Los Angeles did something. The three teams in the Central Division, you talk about Dallas, Minnesota, Colorado, they did something, whether it's minimum.
Dallas did a lot. Superstar.
Yeah. Say that again.
I said Seattle did get Megna from San Jose. Superstar.
Yeah.
I'm joking. That was literally they did nothing.
You know, like with like
that was the least, only trade they did.
Like Calgary. Calgary, are they making a playoff push? Like, what are they doing?
They look like they're giving up.
Nah, they're a loser as well. They didn't do anything really.
You know, Winnipeg. I mean, Cole Perfetti got injured, so they brought in a couple of acquisitions too.
Yeah, looking at the standings too, Calgary is about 5 points behind Winnipeg in the second wild card spot. I think Edmonton is going to pick it up. I think Winnipeg is going to pick it up. I think Seattle's going to slide down to, Seattle might slide down.
Well, Winnipeg picked up Nemestikov and Niederreiter.
That's great depth. That's really good.
That is. Depth. Sam, my Gustafson went to Toronto. I got to stop supporting him now.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Dallas, you know what, Sam? You've been calling this from the beginning of the year. Dallas really made, I think, out of all teams in the West, I think Dallas made the necessary push to really give them a competitive advantage over nearly every single team in that, like in the Western Conference.
I agree. I hope they do well.
100%. But like right now, the Metropolitan Division is the division to beat.
Really?
I think so. I think they have a slight upper edge to the Atlantic Division.
I disagree. Boston, Toronto, Tampa Bay up against Carolina, New Jersey, and New York Rangers.
Jersey, man.
You tell me New Jersey with Timo Meier. New Jersey with Timo Meier.
Yes, I am. Yeah, but I am absolutely.
Sam, I'm not convinced. Jersey doesn't convince me this year.
Okay,
you have the President's Trophy winners. You have Toronto, who made one of the best pushes. I have to say, it's the first time that we're going to compliment them. They made a really, really, really good push with the players and the acquisitions. They actually did get stronger for once. If their goaltending shits the bed, if their other defenders shit the bed, there's a possibility. But the firepower that they have up top is incredible. And then Tampa Bay, if they just shift into playoff mode and they compete, they could beat any one of those teams, New York Rangers included, New Jersey Devils, Carolina Hurricanes,
Just because Toronto felt a lot more respect in the fucking handshake line doesn't make them that much
better.
I'm
not talking about Toronto, but I'm talking about Boston, especially this year, Boston breaking records, and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Just aside from Boston. Boston's the only one, the Atlantic, like, it's their cup to lose this year. But I'm saying in the Metropolitan Division, like, it's going to be all-out war in that one, I feel. And that's why New York made those moves. You could argue. That's why Toronto made all those moves, too, to beat Tampa Bay. Toronto built their team to beat Tampa Bay. I don't think they're good enough to beat Boston.
Good.
But in the Metropolitan Division, it's anybody's game. And that's why it's going to be a lot more of a battle.
And all the ones you mentioned, Sam, Tampa, Toronto, Boston, and New York, I hope all of them lose. I don't know why.
I'm voting for the Rangers. Take Kreider out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And I'll be happy.
You can't do that. If you're going for Rangers, means you're going for Kreider. That's an L in my, that's the biggest L of the deadline.
I'll give you an L to lick my anyways. Dude. Joe, I understand you're not convinced New Jersey because of the lack of experience. Fine, fair. But, man, they're a fast fucking team, dude. Like, you can't count them out.
They are. But
we beat them. The Montreal Canadiens beat them.
We beat New York, right? Didn't we beat New York one game?
I don't know if
we did. I think on the road. I was pissed.
We beat them into the road. We beat the Edmonton Oilers on
exactly. It's
on whatchamacallit.
We beat Toronto, and you just said they made a big push. Whatever. It's just
Fuck Toronto.
Yes, I get it. Fuck Toronto. I'm just saying. But you're right, Sam. They are fast. They're a good team, New Jersey. But I don't know. I just think inexperience is going to get to them in this playoffs. But they have a good roster going forward, for sure.
Remember what I said earlier on in the season. It's a young men's type of hockey.
Yeah, right now the Canadians are in daycare. They're like in the daycare mode. But we need them to get to, like, you know, college level, and then we're
good
to
go.
I'll throw you guys a rhetorical question.
Where were the Devils a few years ago, Joey?
Dude, exactly. They're bottom of the fuck. They picked second overall.
And there's not much older at this point.
And again, I comes down to, I'm happy we picked Caden Gooley, but Dawson Mercer, man, that fuck, like, he was the forward I wanted when the Canadians were like 16th.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
So, what if Ottawa makes the playoffs though?
That's fine. That means they're
it's Florida. Not fine.
That means Florida isn't, Sam. Think about it.
Exactly.
If Ottawa makes it, Florida's not. And I just saw your face. You're like, holy shit, Joey's right.
No, like, fuck, I never, make it now. No, I did not make that face. Florida's not going to make it regardless.
And I'll flip it because I saw that face. You had that little shock for about half a second.
Drink,
Sam.
Simon,
if
drink
Ottawa makes it, that means Florida is not. It's a good thing. I don't care. Ottawa win, make it. They had their TSN turning point. They smashed the Wings in two back-to-back games. I think that's the turning point. Ottawa is going to make a big push.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. They're 4 points up.
That is the turning point.
How about the Islanders? What did they do?
Bo Horvat.
Besides him.
I think that's big enough.
Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't help that Barzal's injured too, huh?
I'm not. Exactly.
Okay. Anything else? Do we have any other winners or losers?
No.
Leafs are always losers in my book. So even if
who?
Leafs.
Oh, fuck.
They're always losers in my book. Even if they win trade deadline, they're still losers.
Okay. I want to ask you guys this. This is going to be the last topic of the episode. Let's go back in time here. Okay? We're doing a Habs trade deadline throwback. Okay? So, to the best of your memories, guys, what's your favorite Montreal Canadiens trade? It could be either at the trade deadline or a week prior. Let's stick with the month of March. Okay? It doesn't have to be the trade deadline, but what are some of your top trades that Montreal's made?
What's his name?
Well, we had it as a story the other day, Kovalev coming in all those years ago.
The ultimate. Kovalev is the number one.
But there was another one that was fucking...
The other one happened a few years back that was really exciting, and I thought it was going to really give the Habs a competitive advantage. Thomas Vanek.
Vanek, that's the name. That's what I wanted. Vanek.
That was a lot of fun.
I was going to say Spacek, but it's Vanek.
Chris just said my acquisition Vanek. Of Vanek. Not even Kovalev. I knew someone was going to say, but I went with Vanek.
That's right, Joe. That's right, Joe. You shut your dirty mouth and let me see.
I was so hyped when we got Vanek. We won the big fish. You know, of the pond, like we were the big winners. We got the biggest player. We made the third round, but he didn't perform in the playoffs.
Oh my God. And I think, but I don't know if Michel Therrien really liked him.
Who the hell did he like? Jesus Christ. He just liked to smoke his cigarettes.
Okay. So here, it was on March 5th, 2014.
That's it.
So the Canadians traded Sebastian Kolberg and a second round pick to the New York Islanders for Thomas Vanek and a fifth round pick in 2014. So the drafts were conditional. So yeah, that is probably, I could say that's a top three. Would you say that's a top three
pick
in March in recent history? All right. You fast forward a year later. Okay. March 2nd, 2015.
Ryder?
No.
Who was it?
He played defense.
The
Edmonton Oilers got screwed over and missed this guy. That's correct. Yeah.
Oh, he came on.
A year later.
Yeah, it was a really early trade in the morning. I remember it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. Bergevin was like, "Okay, got him."
Yeah,
done.
Petrie was a good trade. Yeah.
So the Canadians traded a second round pick. In 2015, and a fourth round pick. in 2015 to the Edmonton Oilers for Jeff Petrie. So it's, and it's so funny because that second round pick turned out to be Jonas Siegenthaler, who played for Washington. And the other one is Caleb Jones, who I think plays in Chicago right now.
Oh, they actually became NHL. I didn't know that.
They actually became NHL players for Jeff Petrie.
Isn't it crazy, Sam, some of the trades you're mentioning a few years back, how much, I would say, a little less assets were given up just to get some of these players as opposed
none of these players ever became something. Except compared to
Tanner Janot's deal now, like, and getting Petrie and Vanek.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Look at Kovalev's trade for Joseph Baleje and a second round pick.
One of the best deals of all time.
It is one of the best deals. One of the best Baleje. Deals of all time. I can't pronounce his name, but yeah, Baleje. What else there? So I'm on this pretty cool website called HabsWatch.com, and I have like all the trade history here in front of me. I'm going back 2009, a Pierre Gauthier trade, Matt D'Agostini for Aaron Paluschai. Do you remember that one?
I had hopes for that D'Agostini, man. I liked his game.
Yeah, we all did. When he in his first five games, he scores five goals. Scored a goal a game in his first five games. Looked like our buddy Max. So, you know, but then after that,
Max,
it amounted to nothing. Oh my god, do you guys remember this one? March 8, 2006, a goalie for a goalie. Let's go all the way back to 2006.
Oh, that goalie was a goalie. That was Theodore getting traded
for who?
For.
Oh, you got this. Come on.
Christophe Louvet?
No.
No.
Christophe Louvet was already the backup goaltender.
Oh, no.
You guys know it. You have
Abisher.
It. Yes.
Yeah,
David Abisher. And then you know what? I was actually at the game where Theodore came back for the first time in Montreal as a Colorado Avalanche. And I think the Canadiens won 6-5. And I think the game winner came from fucking Craig Rivé out of the box breakaway goal.
Pretty cool.
I remember that. And they asked Kovalev, like, how are you going to score on Theodore? And he goes, well, he's not that tall, so I'm going to fucking aim for his head.
I have a good one.
Yeah.
2001.
Stand by. In March?
Yep.
March 2001. Jesus. Okay, here we go. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it Trevor Linden, Dinas Zubris, and a second round pick to Tampa Bay for Richard Zetnik, Jan Boulis,
and a first rounder, which ended up being Perezogin.
My God, Alex, remember when Perezogin fucking swung his stick in the
he was a little crazy.
Fucking,
but he hated. I remember he hated Toronto. When he used to play them, I don't blame him as a player, but I know he didn't. I mean, he didn't amount to much. He only played a bit for Montreal, but I liked his potential. It never worked out. But
Zetnik was awesome.
Having Zetnik, especially complete the Koivu and Kovalev line, and Jan Boulis, he had his moments.
Four goal game. He had a four goal game.
Yeah, that's right.
Zook, didn't you call Dinas Zubris Zubat at one point in your life?
Zubat, of course, I've called him many times. Pokemon fan. Zubat.
You remember back in high school, fucking Zubat.
Yeah, sick hair.
Oh, when?
Oh my god!
I thought that was a win for Montreal. I think 100%. Zetnik became. I think Zetnik was the best offensive player out of all of them. I think to thrive after that deal.
Oh yeah, dude! When he got clotheslined by fucking.
McSorley.
McSorley, but he has a
McLaren. Kyle McLaren.
Yeah. McLaren. Dude, like Zetnik being out of the series against Carolina in 2002. Like, that was one of the reasons.
There's always something, in that series. We lose him that year. We lose Koivu another year.
I was at that fucking game when Koivu got his eye out by Justin Williams. It was bullshit. Bullshit, man. Everybody lost their shit at the refs, rightfully so.
No, the most bullshit was when I don't know how this is coming to the podcast, but that 2002, that overtime when Yannick Carroll did not take the face off, and I lost my shit. I broke my fucking remote.
And they put and they put Bill Lindsay there.
Bill Lindsay, do you, the guy that has 90+% faceoff win, the best faceoff. How do you not have him in the defensive zone to take that? Michel Therrien, I'm glad you're gone. Never come back, please.
What a fucking
so it's so funny because a couple weeks ago, Bill Lindsay was a guest that he's like. I think he was on a guest with Mitch Melnick, and he goes like, "Yeah, unfortunately, I might be remembered for that fucking play. Just like I never take a face-off, like late in the game, important face-off in our own zone, he puts me out.
Overtime, painful memories.
Oh yeah. So okay, let's before we call it quits.
We losing tonight. We have a game, right?
It's true. The Canadians are playing the Anaheim Ducks. Right now, I got the Laval Rockets that...
Yeah, I got it in the background over here, over my over my shoulder.
A nice California loss.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Trevor Zegras doing a fucking Michigan goal on Montembeau again. Like,
no problem. Make them catch up to us in the standings. I'm good with it.
Well, listen, I mean, like I said, for me, only there's only certain players that I want them to score or perform or play well. Then... And that's that. But speaking of the Rocket, there's another fight going on. They got a must-win game, but I'm happy that Kent Hughes was able to somehow. What was the rule? They in paper format send down Jesse Lonen and Raphael Harvey Panarin.
Panarin.
If they do make the playoffs, they're eligible to play with them, which I think was a great move. Yeah. But they got sent down, but then got called back because you're only allowed 4 call-ups after the deadline till the end of the season. They couldn't put Barron in because he got injured.
Of course.
And which
that was an injury.
Dude, like he's got to be careful, man. He's got to protect himself a lot better than that along the boards. But listen, I want to recap just last year's trade deadline trades, man. Like, could I'm hoping one day, you know, we're talking about the best trades ever made in the month of March. That I'm hoping the Ben Chiarot trade is. I hope we could be talking about this one.
Ben Chiarot for Connor Bedard
in a couple of years.
Could be. Hey, Florida's in the spot right now. Like I said, Ottawa, Florida's in the spot right now to get 3% at first. Overall.
Okay, but could this trade become one of the best trades ever made in Canadiens history? Brett Kulak to William Lagesson, the conditional second round pick that has become. Lane Hudson.
Yes, that could be. That could very any one of the deals they made. Even who did we get for Tyler Toffoli? Who ended up being the pick?
We got Tyler Pitlick and the first round pick is Philip Massar. we also got Emil Heinemann and Tyler Pitlick.
So either that or Massar, what can make of this draft with Florida, their first rounder, which right now, like I said, if they end this spot, it's 3% more. To getting first overall, so they have to stay at this.
It helps.
To add a little bit more to that Ben Chiarot trade, the fourth round pick that they got in 2002, they picked Cédric Gaydon, who plays with Colby Barlow with the Owen Sound Attack. And Cédric Gaydon, he's playing very well with Colby Barlow. We're projected to get Colby Barlow. If we pick 7th, he might go there. Left winger. He's got over 40 goals now in the Ontario Hockey League.
Don't want 7th.
I'm just saying, if we land there and we pick him, I know I'll be happy with that pick.
If it ain't Bedard, it's Mishkov or we riot.
No fan to me? No fan to me?
I just want to go for like the home run pick. And to me, Mishkov is more of a home run pick than Fantilli. Him, if his potential carves out the way, it could be the biggest bust. It could be. I know his contract situation, but I just want the big prize. He was projected to be 2nd the whole time, right behind Bedard, and then the whole Russia thing came in and has nothing to do with his talent. So go big or go home. That's what I want.
I'm gonna end it off.
We win the draft? We have like Florida flying upwards, and we finish right around 5th or 6th from the bottom, and Mishkov doesn't get picked. Could you imagine?
I'll come give you a hug, Chris, if that happens. Jesus. I'll remember this conversation.
Just search up the song "Crap for Connor, Bad for Bedard."
I've seen it.
I died of laughter watching that on TSN.
No thanks.
We should listen to what they say. Put in an ECH ECHL goalie. Put in fucking Primo the rest of the way. Put him in. I beg.
Primo's an AHL goalie. Just speak of Primo, they're down 3-0.
It's well, there you fantastic. Go. I don't.
Terrible.
We ended on that, boys?
Let's end it on Primo.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Like and subscribe us on YouTube. Like and share with a friend. We'd greatly appreciate it. That's the trade deadline for you. We're just going to have to live and die with the roster on this team. And I'm going to have to live and die with guys like Joey, Chris, Zook, Anthony, and Adrian. Yes, sir. I wouldn't pick anybody else. Maybe I'd place Joey. Maybe.
He thinks of me at night. He just says this.
I really do.
He's plotting against you.
Hey, you know what they say? If you can't sleep, it's because somebody's dreaming of you or thinking of you at night. So
That is true. I can see Zook with Sam. If Montreal win the cup or whatever the case is with you, he'd come running to Miles saying, I fucking told you so.
There will be blood.
Yes.
I warn you. Guys, thanks so much for joining me. Thank you for not making me do a solo episode once again.
More of those, Sam. They were good.
Nah. I got to keep the dynamic with the boys. I'm kidding. That's exactly. Guys, thanks again. Until next time.
Bye now.
Good night.